So good morning, Celeste. I'm live in Denver, Colorado here. You're there in New York. We're going to begin, of course, in Charleston, West Virginia, which is about 30 miles outside of that city is the Upper Big Branch Mine, which is certainly the top story this morning. It's owned by Massey Energy. It's visible by its huge floodlights, which illuminate the mountains against the crisp spring sky. And you can see the pictures this morning on our website, thetakeaway.org. But this morning, those lights are supporting a rescue effort. Governor Joe Manchin announced there will be no mining done at Upper Big Branch for a while.
We're not going to put more people in jeopardy right now because of the high levels. 2 foot of visibility is not much. And that starts rising as soon as the air, you get some ventilation and you get some things moving, you can clear that up and really get a lot of work done.
The Upper Branch Mine itself is a sprawling warren of tunnels and shafts that bite into seams of coal that themselves are seeping with natural gas. Gas that can collect and can ignite with explosive effect. And this is what may have happened yesterday when a massive explosion killed at least 25 miners. The deadliest accident since 1984, but there are 4 men missing, and if they can't be rescued, this would be the worst coal mining disaster since 1970. When the price of energy was a fraction of what it is today, nevertheless, the human costs don't change, and that's what they're feeling today in coal mining country this morning in West Virginia and other places across the east of the United States, the sort of mid-Atlantic zone, which forms the sort of coal energy belt of the United States, at least in the eastern states. Joining us now, once again, is Beth Voorhees, anchor and senior correspondent at West Virginia Public Radio. Beth, thanks so much for being with us.
Good morning.
And in Beckley, West Virginia, Ian Urbina, national correspondent for the New York Times, joins us. So good morning, Ian.
Good morning.
So what can you say is the latest right now from Beckley? You've been near the mine. You've talked with people in the community. What's the sense of how people are feeling as dawn breaks this morning?
Well, I mean, there's just a lot of waiting and worrying. I think the federal and state safety officials have said that things look pretty dire for the remaining 4 miners who are unaccounted for and were sort of in the deepest part of the mine. So I don't think families have super high hopes, but they're just trying to finish boring holes into the mine so as to air out some of the methane and allow the rescue workers to go back in and continue trying to access those remaining miners.
Which suggests that the ventilation system as it was there was not adequate, something certainly federal officials are going to be looking at. Beth Voorhees, do we know what happened? Can we lay out a timeline of what exactly happened yesterday?
It happened at about 3:30 yesterday afternoon. It's my understanding that there was a shift change at the mine, which in all mines in mid-afternoon, that's when that happens. A mine car of about 7 men were coming out of the mine. They felt a huge blast of hot air. They knew something had happened. They went back into the mine to see what had happened. They found the first 7 perished miners at that time. After that, of course, this was reported to officials right away. This is one of the changes that came out of the Sago mine disaster, is that you had to notify emergency officials within 15 minutes of any mine accident. So emergency officials locally and statewide were informed and went to the mine as quickly as they could. There are pictures of ambulances just lining up the road leading into and out of the mine. We understand that 2 miners are at a local hospital in the intensive care unit, so 2 miners were rescued, but we are unsure of their condition at this time.
I was looking at some Associated Press reports, and it seems that at the very least their condition is serious, if not grave, at this point. Ian Urbina, that suggests what we're also seeing in other reports, that the scale of this explosion was pretty huge. I saw someone quoted who said he was in a mine 7 miles away from this explosion, who heard and felt the ground shaking significantly. What's the scale of this explosion, as far as officials are able to say, Ian?
You know, I haven't heard them try to measure it, frankly. I have heard, you know, a lot of stories from, like you reference. But, you know, I think that what they have been saying is that because of that seeming scale, the questions about what happened and whether, you know, safety regulations were being followed are even, you know, higher and more acute. An explosion of that size seems to imply a lot of methane to possibly have built up. There could be other causes, I suppose, but I think that something that large is really going to cause the regulators to want to get in there and begin investigating.
And the questions that are asked, of course, that amount of methane suggests that over time it may have collected, which, of course, raises one set of safety issues and, questions about ventilation. And then there's just a question of the safety of the mine itself. Maybe there's just too much methane in there to be safely mining. Beth Voorhees, how do people sort of deal with this complicated combination of coal and methane? We've seen in China that the combination, of course, is coal and water being a deadly combination. But here it's methane, and it's much more explosive.
Right. And when you remember that the Kew Creek mine in Pennsylvania was a flooded mine. The Sago mine disaster was the same thing, a buildup of methane gas. Now, what investigators will look for is, where was that methane gas? Was it from an abandoned part of the mine that had been sealed and then built up behind those seals? That's what happened at Sago. And then it was said that lightning somehow got into the mine and triggered a spark in that abandoned mine that was sealed. And there's all sorts of debate as to how do you safely seal abandoned portions of mines. Do you use concrete block? Do you use foam block? That was all talked about after Sago. Now, about ventilating a mine, this is a Massey Energy mine. About 2 weeks after Sago was the Aracoma coal mine. That was a coal mine fire. Two miners died there.
Wow.
And what we understand from that is that Massey Energy was using the conveyor belt in order to ventilate the mine, but the belt was running hot and it set off a fire.
An enormous number of questions that will be asked. Beth Voorhees, anchor and senior correspondent at West Virginia Public Radio. Also, Ian Urbina, national correspondent for the New York Times. Watching that mine disaster in West Virginia, at least 25 dead. Thanks for both of you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.